Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista.
It's not the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast.
It's not?
Yeah, I kind of floofed on that one before, but anyway.
Okay, so this is our second attempt at introing.
We're off to a swimming start.
This is great.
We're back with a vengeance is what I'm trying to say.
Apparently.
Here. How are you feeling now?
Well, I mean, I'm not 100% better, but I'm definitely better than
I was.
No.
I'm pretty sure we both got like some sort of sinus infection
or something.
Yeah,
it's been rough.
It's been a rough go, but we're back.
Yeah, I have a voice again. I didn't really have one this time last week, so.
No, you kind of sounded like you were like a pack a day.
Yeah, I know. And I've never smoked a cigarette in my life, so that says a lot about it.
You were like, what's her face from Monsters, Inc. that you're always watching?
Roz. I was like, Roz. I was always watching. That's exactly what
she
I sound like.
She likes my glasses.
It's true. Every time. Yeah. It's like, great.
They stand out a little
it's
bit.
It's true.
So,
it is true. Mm. Yeah, so at least we have voices now, so.
Hooray.
Yay.
We also have eyes.
We do.
And with those eyes, we
partook
in something.
What are we talking about this week, Brandon?
Well, we were planning on doing like a little light touch on this as a quick episode last week since we were away again.
Yep.
But since we weren't... See, I still have a little bit of a voice problem.
Yeah, I do too. So excuse us if we're...
A little bit. But since we couldn't do that as a little light touch on it... this week we're gonna go on a deep dive into the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Yep.
And Life Day.
And that's a journey.
In general.
We literally just watched it again, so if we sound delirious, that is why.
That is why. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, before we get to that, Brandon, what is your nerd thing this week?
Well, I've been playing a lot of World of Warcraft because the new season started in the regular land, and we've been clearing the raid and stuff like that, mm-hmm. fun stuff like that. But I also started a new character in the, it's called Season of Discovery that they just launched on Friday.
Okay.
And it's kind of harkens back to classic World of Warcraft, but my character's called Jin Fizzle, a little gnome.
That's a great name.
Yeah.
I played a gnome in D&D, the first campaign we did, and I was not named Jin Fizzle. I was a rock gnome named Eliwick Sparkle Gem.
And we all called you Sparkle Farts.
And it wrecked it.
No, it made it better.
So I thought you should be Jin Fizzle Sparkle Gem.
Sparkle Farts.
No, you could be like my brother or something.
Right.
Your character.
Yeah. Anyway, that's been quite fun. It's been a lot of computer this week because you've been off.
Well, that's my nerd thing. It's the annual Christmas market here in town, and this is the first time we've done a 3-day market, and I have been there selling my books.
You're two down, one to go.
One to go. We're recording this Saturday night. And, yeah, I got to wake up bright and early and head back to the market to continue selling. But, yeah, it's good. It's fun and festive. And, yeah, it's I actually really enjoy markets. So, like, I'm good with that. But this is the only one I'm selling at this year.
Yeah.
When I have a new book come out, I tend to do more markets. But, like, make that my focus. But this year, I don't.
It's been a while since you put a book out.
Yeah, it's been my last one came out in 2019.
So, a while.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, whatever.
I also have two books.
It's been also never since I put out a book. So.
Right. But I'm always kind of surprised because this is just the closest one. But we live in a small town, but I do quite well here. And I'm always saying I'm surprised. Like, it's a small town. Hasn't everyone here who reads already read my books? But apparently not.
It makes sense around Christmas time. It's an easy Christmas gift and stuff.
Almost
like that.
All the ones I've been selling have been Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's always, I'm going to buy it for my sister. I'm going to buy it for my mom. I'm going to buy it for, So anyway.
Makes a lot of
sense. It's a lot of fun and I really enjoy doing it. It is kind of tiring, but it's good.
Those long days and you got to talk to people.
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah. And I always say it's surprising how tired you get, like, just sitting that whole time. Like,
it's not
so anyway, it's that is what I've been up to, but I've been enjoying it too. So
and next on your list is your
cookie exchange.
Oh, I was going to say for your writing.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I thought you meant like my festive activities right now. Yes, next fall, I keep putting it out there, so I make sure that I stick to it this time.
Yeah.
Next fall, I'm going to have my next book released, and it's not going to be a novel. It's going to be a collection of short stories, and they're all kind of creepy.
It's for spooky season!
It's for spooky season, yes, which is the second best
season. I'm excited about this, because your writing's good and all, but it's not...
You are not my target demographic.
I am not. It's not the genre that I would pick up on a voluntary basis.
You don't typically read women's realistic fiction?
No, I don't. What? I do not, no.
Crazy. But you like the spooky stuff.
I like the spooky stuff.
Yes. So actually what's kind of fun is I've created my first QR code, and I have it set up that anyone who wants to can get can scan it and get a link to my first story, or one of the stories that's in there, which is one of your favorites of anything I've ever written, and that's a short story called Christopher that is in there. So
kind of inspired the whole anthology, actually.
It really did.
Very cool.
I said I'm either going to expand it to a novel or do like a collection.
I think you should post it on the Disney A website as well.
You think so? Just a link to it.
Well, because we just talked about it.
That's true. That is true. I can do that.
Our loyal listeners want to know.
Do they? They want to read a creepy story. There is the name Christopher is a reference to Christopher Robin.
Mm-hmm.
So there's our Disney little link.
There you go.
It's actually inspired by Ray Bradbury's short story The Veld, not the story itself, but just the fact he names the children in it Peter and Wendy, and I loved that.
Yes,
and
yes.
I said I wanted to do like a little nod to like a children's literature.
That short story is actually. Does seem kind of Ray Bradbury-ish.
You said that, and actually, so the base of it, like, it's been changed. I'm going off on a tangent, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. We have a very short episode this week.
Okay.
With all the very little news that we have to talk about.
Oh, my God. Okay, let me just say this quickly. It was part of a contest, and so I put in the premise for the contest, and I did have someone say that it reminded them of Ray Bradbury. Because it was, the prompt was to write science fiction, and I don't really write science fiction, so I did this, which is definitely more creepy than science fiction. But another writer who was there, another local writer, she came and she scanned it and she read it. She came back and she said, my goodness, I loved it, but ooh.
That's why it's awesome.
That's a compliment. She's like, it's meant to be. So I didn't know how to write. Ooh, but yeah,
ooh.
That's cool, right?
Yeah, you need to put that on the quotes about the
early feedback. Ooh. Okay, so on a different note, but anyway, so I'm excited about that and super into it.
That is
fun.
A good tangent.
Thanks.
I like that tangent.
Yeah. Ooh.
Okay.
What are you drinking tonight while we record?
I'm drinking a festive cranberry gin fizz.
Mm-hmm.
Named after my gnome mage named Jin Fizzle. I don't know.
Very nice, very nice. I have a Cab Sauv. I'm drinking wine because I'm classy. That's all I have to say about my drink. Okay, it's out of a bottle. It's a little mini flowery bottle.
It is
a really cute little flowery bottle that is supposed to be like, you're supposed to drink out of it.
Yeah. It's a single serving bottle.
Mm-hmm. And we went to a like Christmas event. Kind of holiday party weekend thing last weekend, and I got these for that, and I didn't drink it, so I'm drinking it now.
It's only 250 mils.
It is tiny.
That's less than a can of pop.
Exactly.
Wow, that was very Canadian. That I just
a can of pop.
No, like 250 mils is less than a can of pop.
Yeah,
any American listeners out there, are like, what is
that
he
means
even talking
nothing.
About?
Yeah. Speaking of American listeners or Canadian listeners or listeners in general, or once you even went British listeners, do you have a Better Know a Listener this week?
Oh, I do.
Woo.
I bet you didn't know that I did.
I didn't. That's why I was literally asking.
Oh, it was a question.
Yeah, it was a question.
No, I'm guessing that this is what it means because it came up on our logs as just Carmel.
Okay.
And I was like, there's a place called Carmel, because, you know, I like eating caramel, and mm-hmm. it's delicious, and I was like, oh, there's a place called that?
I'm going to make some caramel cookies this week.
Yeah, you are.
For Christmas.
For Christmas. And what came up was Carmel by the Sea, with, like, hyphens.
Oh, okay.
And it's a little city in California.
Really?
On the ocean, because it's
by honestly, the sea. If you said there's a town called Carmel by the Sea with hyphens, I would have guessed England.
Yes. Well, funny fact.
Okay.
It's a lot of the downtown kind of looks like an old English, like, fairy tale town.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's pretty cool looking. I kind of want to visit there.
Carmel by the Sea?
Yeah.
Or Caramel by...
Caramel by the Sea.
Or Carmel.
I don't know. But it's, like, a very pretty little place. It's on, like, a little peninsula. And, well, those are not all good pictures, but I kind of want to go there.
I want to go to a little fairy tale kind of town.
It's 300 miles north of Los Angeles, so it's
we could do this.
Well, you could. We would have to do it like on the way down to Disneyland.
Yes, no, we would have to like plan like to do it. This is not a day trip kind of thing.
It's actually a very small little place. It's like only 3,000 people.
That is very small.
So it's a town, not a city, I guess. Oh. But. That's kind of cool.
So someone in this tiny town is listening to us?
I'm assuming so. I don't know. I'm going to guess that. But it has like a big fancy old Spanish Catholic mission in the middle of it. Yeah. And big fancy church type of thing. And then, yeah, the downtown area has like old half timber type fairy tale looking stuff. Pretty town. Yeah.
Okay. Please. For the love of everything, if you are listening to us from there, can you let us know? Because I am so intrigued by this. Also, I want to go. I know I say I want to go to all these places, but I want to go to a fairy tale. And we go to California. So, like, this is something we could literally... It would take a planning, but we could make this work.
Oh, and you'd be happy to know this. Starting in 1911... The town started becoming known for hosting Shakespeare plays.
Are you serious?
And so they have a Shakespeare festival.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so can I have another nerd thing? Because my grade 10s just started reading Romeo and Juliet, and they might be the most fun, one of the most fun, if not the most fun group I've ever read Shakespeare with. The boy who's reading, first of all, two friends, like both guys, asked right away before we even started if they could read for Romeo and Juliet. And they, like, play it up so much. And every time the guy reads for Romeo, he stands and we play dramatic sad music, literally from YouTube, called dramatic sad music. And it's super fun. And now I want to go even more. What else can you tell me about Carmel?
No, I'm just reading more about the Shakespeare Festival.
Oh, I want to go to the Shakespeare Festival.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Is it at particular times of the year, does it say, or just it is known for it?
It's just known for it.
Oh, man.
They have the Pacific Repertory Theater.
Mm-hmm. You have to say it like that.
Theater,
mm-hmm.
Including the annual Shakespeare Festival. And they have 10 to 12 different plays and musicals throughout the year with over 175 performances. Be kind of like a Rosebud.
That's so cool.
In our area,
yeah,
because that's like a little tiny hamlet that has this.
Well, this is a lot bigger than Hamlet,
center.
But yeah, I same version just
in
here.
California, 3,000
relatively,
person
yeah,
town mm-hmm. would be a tiny, tiny place, yeah.
Proportionally, that's what I meant to say. Yeah, that is so cool. I love that. That's awesome. That makes me that
seems
really
like
want,
a cool.
I
place.
Really want to go.
I kind of want to make a little road trip.
Yeah,
there,
right.
To be honest with you.
Let's do that. That'd be so fun. That'd be so fun. Okay. I like this. I'm excited about it. We're going to Caramel.
By the sea.
Caramel by the sea.
And it also has a beautiful beach. So.
Well, my God. We're going to Caramel by the sea. That's amazing. And I want to know how it got its name.
It's by the sea.
And so it looks like caramel?
I
don't know. This is why I have questions. I have questions. So the other thing we really do top of show is talk about either Marvel or Star Wars, the latest show. We don't have one on right now, but we are counting down. What If Season 2 starts December 22nd. So, you know, we're marking our calendars for that one. Very exciting. What we said before, just a reminder, is an episode a day.
I'm not counting down because I'm kind of bummed out. We're not even going to be home for it.
No, that's true. We are actually like driving away on December 22nd.
I don't want to talk about it.
No, we're going to watch them all and it's going to be great.
And then the other new release in Disney's, in the Disney frame is the Wish,
yes,
the Wish
that's
movie
true.
Came out.
Yeah, I had that in news, but let's just talk about it now since we're talking releases.
Yeah, well, it's a new Disney thing. Mm-hmm. Not doing so good at the old box office.
Nope. Apparently, it's full of like Easter eggs, which is kind of fun, and that's fine. We can watch that on Disney Plus.
Yeah, and which is probably what a lot of people are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The trailers for it made it look like, not good at all. Which and is, I don't think it's supposed, like, the critical reception is not good either.
So when it, trying to stay away from tangents, when it first was announced, it was supposed to be for the 100th anniversary of Disney. There was going to be all these different stories intertwining into the origin story of the wishing star from, like, Pinocchio and stuff, right? Like, when you wish upon a star. And the trailers are not making it seem like that at all. So I don't know if there is element to that. But the fact that we can't tell that from the trailer is not good.
Not good, no.
So anyway, not doing too well.
That story hook would work.
Yes.
Totally. The story hook that's in the trailer
no idea.
It's like the villain is like making a lot of sense in the trailer, and it's like
I don't know. Maybe it's an advertising situation that they need to. They are having problems, and it's
Anyway, big bomb. Just another one to add the list for 2023. Disney having lots of problems.
Yeah, well, we have news about that.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Good segue.
Segue news.
Disney A News Update.
Let's jump right into the call then.
It was a town hall.
The town hall. That's right. Since we were just talking about it, let's just go straight into that.
Let's go.
Okay, because I have, like, we were going to talk park stuff too, but let's do this first.
Yeah, so
this is bigger anyway.
Big companies, they do this from time to time. I'm an employee of a big company that was like a big chunk of it was just sold to another big company. They do these town halls from time to time. Mine are much less exciting than than Bob Iger talking about the future of the Disney company.
So let's just summarize some of the main points.
Okay, go for it.
Well, we were just talking about, I think one of the big takeaways is we were just talking about, like, how Wish was unsuccessful.
Big failure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is, of course, just on the heels of the Marvels being financially unsuccessful. Although that one didn't have quite as much critical problems as Wish seems to.
Yeah, like, Marvels is, like, just, like, kind of a meh, whereas Wish is, like, supposed to be nuts.
Wah, wah, wah.
But, like, You have Indiana Jones not doing well.
Yes. Oh, and that's on Disney Plus now, by the way. Tiny news item snuck in there.
Yes, it is on Disney Plus. We still haven't watched it yet.
No, we haven't.
Because we spent time watching the Star Wars Holiday Special instead. Yes. Good life choice. Not really.
Good life choice for Life Day? Oh, okay. Keep going. I'm sorry. I am ashamed.
I have... My train of thought has now been derailed.
No. Things that have bombed. Indiana Jones, Wish, Marvels.
Yeah, I think there's other stuff, too.
If you want to keep going along the Marvel route.
Yeah, a lot of Marvel problems not doing so good. You got Ant-Man was, like, kind of fine, I guess. Thor was a bad one. I think that was just at the tail end of last year.
Yeah, but it's in everyone's memory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go.
So, anyway, he talked about this.
And because of all those bombs, you have the desperation of announcing Inside Out 2, Frozen 3,
and
Toy
4.
Story 5.
Well, I mentioned the other day, but it was announced that Frozen 4 is in production, and you said, Frozen 4, what about 3? I said, oh, that's already been well done. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, okay, Frozen's a moneymaker, but 2 is not great, and if you keep that trajectory...
There were moments of 2 that were good, and so I think they're, like, wrapping their arms around those moments and the stuff that made money, but... Remember how much they put in towards merch and everything, and it just sat on shelves. Not like the first one.
Yeah, because no one cared about the second. They just, I don't know.
Some of the music was good, but I mean, also the music was good, but that doesn't sell merch.
So anyway, Bob Iger's like, yes, this is a problem. We've been stumbling a little bit, and it's because we're doing too much.
Yes. So he really used the phrases quality and quantity, and basically saying we're going to take a step back from quantity and focus again on quality, which is fantastic and wonderful. I still have questions as to how they're going to do that, but let's also remember when Iger was in charge first time around, I mean, he stepped in when they were doing Home on the Range, okay?
Yeah, he's been in this position before.
It literally, that was the last time he was in there. So he talked about that, and he also talked about focusing on the Disney parks. And the same kind of numbers were being thrown around. We had talked before about how he said, well, we're going to put all this money into Disney parks.
The magical 60 billion number, yeah.
Into Disney parks and experiences. But let's also remember, that includes the cruise ships that have already been announced. And Adventures by Disney.
Guess what? Cruise ships are not cheap.
Exactly. And they're bringing in money, right? They, so, yes.
And they keep building them bigger, yes, so they're even more expensive.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. That also includes Adventures by Disney. That includes all the Disney parks worldwide. And a lot of them have stuff on the go. So while we're like, yay, Disneyland, that is one tiny little crumb of everything else he's talking about. Now, that being said, they were still doing cruise ships and Adventures by Disney and everything else before, when they didn't see that huge influx of money. So that is still interesting. And he did specifically reference Disneyland, which is making people freak out, but like, grain of salt.
He was extolling the possibilities of expansion at Disneyland. Basically, like, we're not as constrained as you might think at Disneyland. I mean, because he knows this is going to get out to shareholders, too.
Totally.
You always have to look at it through that
lens.
It is for internal audiences, but he knows it's going to get out.
Of course it is.
And as a CEO, everything he does is framed for shareholders. Mm-hmm. Always for shareholders. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yeah, the whole point was, we're not as constrained at Disneyland as you might think. We could build a whole nother park if we wanted to.
A whole nother park the size of Disneyland.
If we wanted to. So.
But also, when you look at the land they have, it's like a little parcel here and a little parcel here. That doesn't mean like we have a huge chunk of land which we can devote to another park.
Well, they have a couple big chunks, but one of them is like their main parking lot. So you put something else there, where's everybody going to park?
Exactly.
People have to park somewhere.
Exactly. So,
like, we don't park when we go there, but a lot of people do.
A lot do, especially when you're really toting Disneyland as like a quote-unquote locals park. A lot of them drive.
A lot of people park. So what are you going to do is like build these like 30-story parking structures? Like, I don't
yeah,
understand.
Yeah, so he's not saying that's what they're going to do. He's just saying like,
we
he's
have this
trying,
possibility.
Yes,
now.
They're trying to have interest in the Disney parks, and they're going to put some focus and some energy into the Disney parks. But moreover, quality over quantity, which is great. Do that. I'm good with that.
Yeah, so there's,
I mean, don't get me wrong, I like quantity too, but if I have to pick one.
Well, yeah, you want quality first and foremost.
Exactly.
I don't hate that there's a Marvel show on Disney Plus every couple of
Nor
months
I.
or whatever.
Nor I.
But they gotta be good. Like, if it was every couple of months you're gonna watch another Secret Invasion, no thank you.
Absolutely. You know what? Enough Secret Invasions, you'd have me, like, shying away
tapping
from Marvel.
Tapping out, yeah. And there's only one Marvel movie on the schedule
that's
for next
true.
Year, Deadpool, like we talked about before.
And that's gonna make a lot of money regardless.
And there's probably only two shows.
That is shocking.
And one of them is getting dumped early in the year, Echo.
Yep.
Is getting
it is being dumped. Like, it is, yep.
All at once. And then the Agatha show is what I'm going to call it. Cause...
Okay, so that was my next Sugui.
Okay. Sugui.
Sugui. Are we done talking about this town hall, do we think?
Yeah, I think so.
Sugui?
He didn't say much. It's a town hall.
No, of course not. Sugui? I was setting it up and everything. I had a plan.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
No, it was perfect. You did it for me. We got a first look at Agatha.
We did.
Oh my goodness, I am so excited. I've been so excited since they even said this was going to happen. And then I was really nervous because everything got shuffled around and then they kept changing the name. I literally think the name change is purposeful.
It's part of it. Yeah, it's all purposeful. The lady that's like kind of in charge of it was like heavily involved in WandaVision.
Yeah.
Well, the first look that we got of it.
You can't even call it a teaser or anything.
No.
It's a first look.
It was a little featurette on also, this is actually big news. The physical release of WandaVision on DVD or Blu-ray. I assume it was Blu-ray.
I'm sure.
This is the first time a Disney Plus show had a physical copy because...
Well, it works so well with that.
It does, but like some people are very leery of streaming media. You don't own it, right?
Right.
And so if they take it down, like, say, Willow.
Yeah, no kidding.
You can't watch it. And so this being a physical thing that you can buy a lot of people were excited about that, and it's pretty big news. Anyway,
know what? I wouldn't be... I'm not like a buy DVD or Blu-ray person. I would not be mad at getting WandaVision on DVD.
Yeah. Anyway, on this copy, they had a first look at Agatha as a spinoff. That's what it's from.
That's
cool.
Okay.
And it wasn't much. They had some like behind the scenes like filming, and I don't know. It was fairly intriguing because you saw a little bit more than you might think at first glance. You see some stuff of them filming, and Agatha's like flipping through her costumes from WandaVision.
She's wearing
like
I'm through
the decades and stuff. I'm like, oh,
I was shocked.
That's not what
no
I was
no expectation
not,
of that at all.
Not what I was thinking they were going to go with, but yeah.
She was wearing that in the 80s episode. Mm. Wait, she was wearing that in the 50s episode. What has happened? Like, it was crazy
to
me.
I was always excited for this. I think I might be more excited because they're going to lean into the whole...
like the chaos of it all.
TV thing and the chaos magic.
Which is perfect. I love it. Yeah. The Covens of it. Mm. Yeah, even. I'm the same way. I was always very, very excited about this. I mean, WandaVision is my absolute favorite out of all the Disney Plus shows.
And Catherine Hahn is just
she's amazing.
Light.
She is. She's one of those ones where you're like, she can do no wrong, I'm pretty sure. Like, we watched her in...
Oh, she could do plenty wrong, because it was her all along.
It was her all along. Okay. True story. But yes, I'm just super... It makes me like it even more. News? Any other news coming from that, or should we jump over to the parks? So, a lamppost fell over on Main Street USA in Disneyland, injuring multiple guests.
Ouch.
Yeah, and it turns out the support pole was rusted inside before it fell over. So, that's neat. Basically, there were high winds, and And it just, you know, gave it that final push. Now, this speaks to a little bit of some stuff that Disney Parks, has just, like, let slide. The other one that was all over was the image of the future Tomorrowland entrance that was all...
So they started, like, kind of a... retrofit, literally retrofit of the Tomorrowland entrance, and they put up that like shiny wall,
with
the planters and stuff, and
yeah,
that's there.
Well,
and that
actually,
looks
I
all
like
good.
That looks good.
But they were gonna have these flower beds like beside the Astro Orbiter, making like a nice like grand entrance.
Yes,
and they've had concept art of that outside of like in front of the Astro Orbiter for a long time, with like where there was a planter area, and they had some walls around something that they were going to build around or whatever, and they had that concept art on the walls, and it's been there so long that it got super duper faded out. Like,
yeah. So actually, yesterday...
They took it down?
They replaced it with the exact same thing.
New. Oh, that's...
But it's the same image. So that's interesting that they did that.
Someone at Disney watches Fresh Baked.
Exactly.
That was like literally 3 days ago.
Yep. I thought it was crazy interesting.
That dude has more pull than you would think, apparently. Mm-hmm.
Well, we've always said that about like social media and especially like YouTube influencers and everything on Disney is, you know, people can, some of them are loved and some are hated. We've actually, like, if you listen way back when we were living vicariously through Disney YouTubers, when we couldn't travel outside of the country, for example, there were some that we mentioned that we, like, don't really watch anymore and actually have come up to some controversy and we're just like, that's fine. But love them or hate them, they've got the big ones especially have some pull. Yeah. So it's interesting. Speaking of chaos in Disneyland, the Streaker.
Oh, yeah, that's unfortunate. Like, we don't need to spend too much time
on
it.
No, but we should mention it. It happened.
Yeah,
and it
happened.
Bizarre.
Some guy had some mental or emotional or...
Both, probably.
Substance problems or something.
Yeah, something.
I don't know. But he got off. He was riding It's a Small World. And I mean, that song's enough to make anybody crazy.
I love it.
But don't
Especially the holiday one.
Don't go that crazy. Because he got off the boat and took off all his clothes and was like, poking animatronics and stuff.
Yeah, there's pictures of him, like, sitting in the water and, like...
Yeah, not really, really, really bad stuff. And he is never going to Disneyland again.
No, no. But he was, like... When I first heard about it, I thought it was someone who, like, took off their clothes and went streaking.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what happened.
No, it was like a mental breakdown type of thing. But they had to shut the whole ride down and, like, check to make sure everything was still working. Because he was, like, interfering with the animatronics. But I guess nothing broken.
Oh, yeah. No, nothing was. And he was, of course, removed. Like, he was detained and then removed and everything. But it made huge news. Usually... That kind of behavior, not necessarily that specific kind of behavior. When you hear stuff like that, it's not at the Disneyland park. It's at a different park. It's Florida. Florida is the park where stuff happens.
That's true. Well, I mean, it's Florida.
It's mostly fights, though.
It's there's a lot of fights in Florida. But, yeah, you would expect, I mean, there's a meme about Florida Man, right?
Yeah, no, that's true. mm-hmm.
So, if you were going to say someone was streaking and it's a small world, you would assume it was Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. So, we have a lot of... let's just move on from that. It's, like, not pleasant. And clearly, there was stuff going on with him that was not...
Yeah, it's...
He wasn't trying to disturb peace or anything.
I kind of chuckle about it, but something was seriously wrong in that dude's life. Yeah. And that's not funny. So
no, that's exactly right. That's, like, let's mention it and... Yeah. A bunch of new merch. Of course, there's Wish merch. But also, how they keep doing the holiday... the Trader Sam's mugs?
Mm-hmm.
They have a holiday one, and it's kind of cool. It looks like a barrel, and kind of like Skippery.
Okay. Here's the thing. You showed me a picture of it. I have a problem with this.
Why?
So, it's barely, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
I've played a lot of video games.
Yeah.
And when you see a red barrel in a video game, that means it explodes.
Oh.
So, that's an explosive barrel to me, okay?
Okay, actually, that makes me maybe like it more. Not gonna lie.
I get it's because it's Christmas, but I'm pretty sure if you, like, even nick that...
It's just gonna explode.
It's gonna explode.
It's just gonna explode. Also, there's... people, for the first time... maybe for the first time, have been lined up to visit the Beast's library.
Oh, yes, we did see that.
In the animation studios in DCA.
They have to line up to get into the Sorcerer's Workshop, which is kind of a cool area, but you have to go through the Sorcerer's Workshop to get to the Beast's library.
Yeah, I guess the Beast's library is part of the Sorcerer's Workshop.
Right.
Sorry, I should have specified that. Yeah, it's being closed. But it's being close to, like, so people are excited to go, I guess. Visit it one more time.
Well, people are like, well, I guess I gotta go now because it's gonna be gone forever.
That's true. I would want to go one more time, too. Yeah.
We went one more time.
In 2022.
The first and the first and only time that I went
there.
You've
ever been
there?
I always loved that. Remember, I was really excited to go. Yeah.
It was, the ambiance was kind of cool is what I'll say about it, but, like... It was also kind of a waste of space because, like, they had the interactive books and they didn't work very good.
Right. When those books first came out, like, I remember using them and I remember them working better than they did. Remember, I even mentioned, I was like, oh, that's, like, not how I remember. And then we were watching videos of, like, the grotto and stuff when you used to be able to do, like, it was, like, karaoke type stuff. And so they've made changes before. This is the most recent. But it's a cool area. Also, extra security cast members have been added to the Disneyland parking garage. There was an incident this year at Disneyland Resort parking structure. And there's been lots of cast members on the top floor of each garage with additional security cast members patrolling with cars, and it's a whole thing.
Yeah, I like...
And another unfortunate thing that we don't need to dwell on.
No, it's...
But that is something that's up. That's what's up.
That's interesting that that's news now.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, that's the news that I wanted to talk about.
Okay, I'm ready.
Remember Twitter?
X?
Well, yes, it's now called X.
Right, I do remember Twitter.
that's
when we used to be on. We're not on X, but we're on Twitter.
A certain someone bought it for $40 billion and has proceeded to run it into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It is still operating, much to the surprise of everyone.
Including us.
Operating well, not really. They've been having a lot of problems because advertisers, turns out, don't want to advertise on a thing that's not working very well, and also tends to favor hate speech quite often. Yeah.
And really?
Yeah.
Companies don't think that's good PR for them.
Yeah. So.
Huh.
Anyway.
That was my sarcasm voice.
Yeah. Sponsorship has gone way down, mm-hmm. and bringing it back to Disney. Disney has pulled all advertising from X, formerly known as Twitter, and Elon was whining about that, and Iger was like, "Nah." kind of thing, yeah. Anyway, they had a back and forth amongst rich men.
I enjoy thing. Iger dropping the mic on that then.
Well, I don't know if he dropped the mic, but...
But, like, I enjoy... If he really was like, yeah, well, meh. Like, the equivalent of a meh.
Probably.
I enjoy
probably,
that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, what did he expect to happen with that?
Well, exactly. I don't know. He's kind of a delusional fellow is mm-hmm. part of the problem.
Yes. Again, we've said this before. We typically are not people who are like, yay, big corporations or anything like that. But as far as big corporations go, there's like Elon Musk and there's Bob Iger. You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not the same.
Well, one is... insane, and the other one is just a regular rich guy.
Yeah, and the other one's in charge of Disney. It's kind of the same thing, like, not bloodthirsty corporations, but, you know, when we talk about, say, like, certain governors in certain states.
Oh, speaking of governors and states, this has nothing to do with Disney, but DeSantis,
mm-hmm,
governor
mm-hmm,
of Florida. Mm-hmm. So this is how crazy, like, WWE entertainment,
okay.
American politics have gone.
I did not expect you to go WWE, but okay.
Yeah, no, it's like wild. Fox News hosted a debate between DeSantis,
okay,
governor of California,
yes,
and Newsom, governor of California.
Okay, but
why?
Hosted
by Fox, but it was like, and it was billed as red state versus blue state. Sunday.
No, my God.
Like, how stupid is that? They're governors of states that are literally on the other side of the country. The only thing that they have anything related between the two is that they both have Disney parks in them, I guess.
Well, they're theme parks. Like, they both have a Universal. They both have,
yeah. Like, why? Oh, anyway, they had a big debate for entertainment value only. And
I guess no one can see me head palming right now.
It was face kind of palming. Funny, and yeah. So DeSantis was trying to make fun of Newsom for overreacting to COVID, and then Newsom fired back that DeSantis followed facts and science, to which DeSantis replied, "No, I did not." That may be slightly paraphrased, but that was the general gist.
Nope, sure didn't.
No, I didn't. No,
and
I,
like,
no,
you're...
me never. No, that doesn't sound like
don't
me at all.
Don't be silly. Oh
my anyway, God. Okay, we're gonna go around the politics. We got lots of important stuff like Life Day.
Okay, do you want to just move to Life Day?
Yeah, we should probably should, unless you got something else exciting.
Well, actually, I had Life Day merch, but let's do that in the main topic,
yes.
To Sugiwi.
Life Day!
It's holiday time.
Next up on NDR, New Disney Radio, a deep dive.
Okay, Life Day. So... our whole conversation started, there was a bunch of Life Day merch at the Disney parks.
There was, yeah.
Yeah. And we're like, you know what? We originally wanted to talk about the Star Wars holiday special, like, our first Christmas talking, and that was the year they had the crazy investors call.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I do remember that.
So we never really talked about
it. We did not.
So let's just talk Life Day in general. But before we do that, okay, so Life Day officially is November 17th, and that is the date of the original broadcast of the Star Wars Holiday Special. So that is Life Day. So this is happy early Life Day, everyone. Okay, so So there is merch in Galaxy's Edge now.
No comment.
Okay. When we were there for New Year's, this year, I was going to say last, it was end of 2022 into 2023, a year ago, there was still some merch left.
Very little, yes, but there was, yeah. It comes out early in December.
Yeah. So I have here a list of the current 2023 stuff. There's a zip-up hoodie. There is the robe.
I really wanted a robe. They didn't have any in my size.
They had a couple.
They were like smalls or whatever.
Technically, it's called the Life Day Fleece Throw with Sleeves. So it's more like a...
It's a robe.
It's a robe. There's a tank top that says something like Peace, Harmony, and Freedom. Happy Life Day. That's actually cute. It has like cartoon Chewy on it. I think it's hilarious. There's the action figure.
Oh yeah, like a old Kenner action figure.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like
I would super duper buy that.
Yeah, that's really cool actually.
Like right now, yeah. I kind of want it.
It says it is a 3¾ scale Chewbacca, Life Day figure from Hasbro, complete with retro style Kenner blister pack.
Yeah, no, that would go very well with my
collection.
It's
really cool actually. Yeah.
I'm kind of angry now. Okay.
Sorry. There's a Han Solo and Chewbacca Life Day sketchbook ornament. We know all the sketchbook ornaments. A pin, which is like really
kinda
cool.
Cute,
yeah.
Yeah,
it's kind of cute. There's also, oh my goodness, there's so much stuff. There's a Pop Chewbacca Flocked bobblehead.
It's like a Funko.
Yeah, like a Funko Pop. Star Wars inspired holiday card that does like a pop-up kind of thing. Oh, and a collector's box that has like a bunch of Star Wars-y type stuff.
Okay.
Yep. There's a Star Wars The Life Day pop-up book and advent calendar.
Okay. Yep. That's something that could exist.
There's
for sure.
Star Wars The Life Day cookbook, Brandon. There's Star Wars The Life Day cookbook. Official holiday recipes from a galaxy far, far away. This could go with my Galaxy's Edge book.
Oh, there's Wookiee gingerbread cookies.
Yeah, it says
I don't know, it looks like a little chewy to me.
Oh no. I don't know whether to cry or laugh. both. It says it is full of authentic Life Day recipes from the Wookiee homeworld of Kashyyyk. After your feast, be sure to gather around the fire for a storytelling session full of adventure and valiant heroes with Star Wars, The High Republic, Light of the Jedi trilogy box set.
As long as the stories aren't told by Itchy.
We're
getting to him, don't you
worry.
Oh,
don't you worry. There's the, oh boy, Life Day, so then they're saying like all these Life Day values and High Republic Jedi Knight Stellan.
High Republic. I don't know anything about the High Republic.
So anyway, they're releasing all that as part of as Life Days in honor of. They're saying Life Day is in honor of these things.
Yeah, the High Republic is a different time period that we haven't visited in a lot of media yet.
No.
But they are starting, Disney's starting to push it a little bit. And they might, I don't know, we might see something.
Yeah. So anyway, there's a new lightsaber hilt, comic book set. Yeah, there's new art releases. It's a whole thing, but also really cool in Galaxy's Edge itself.
New spork
in Docking Bay 7. There's a new Life Day spork that you get with your meal while supplies last. Of course, it's a unique festive utensil and makes the perfect gift for any Star Wars fan. Limit 2 per guest per transaction.
What does the Erebesh say?
Oh my gosh. I have no idea. Oh, Happy Life Day. It says Happy Life Day. Because there is in English.
Oh.
It's in both.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay. But this is really cool. I don't think they've done this before. There's special Life Day food and beverage options. All are
that
available
is new, I
till
think,
January 9th.
Oh. Yeah. No, they definitely didn't do it because we would have gotten that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's Kashyyyk cake at Docking Bay 7 Food and Cargo. There's cheesy blue orbs at Ronto Roasters.
Oh, those look good.
That's cool. There's Life Day cheese branch at the Kettle at the Popcorn Place.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like a breadstick kind of thing.
That's what it looks like. Yeah,
like a garlic twist.
And at Oga's Cantina, we have a Joe Blasto sangria. Oh my, that sounds really good. Gacola and milliflower toast.
You should say the whole thing and then react.
Sorry. Joe Blasto Sangria Go-Cola and Milliflower Toast.
There you go. Oh, that sounds good.
That sounds good. I got excited.
Yeah, you did. You did. And they got the orb. They got the glowing orb thing.
Yes, so available, the Disney PhotoPass service will be offering Life Day Magic Shots photo experience holding a Life Day orb.
Oh, I see. It's one of those.
Yeah. Really cool. So anyway, that's pretty cool. And I was going to have that in the news. And you're like, we should actually do, we should talk about the Star Wars holiday special.
Life Day. So what is Life Day, Krista?
What is Life Day? And it is.
Wait. Oh. I should find out what Life Day actually is.
Okay.
The meaning of Life Day.
I'm so excited to find out.
Okay.
Okay, hit me with it.
Life Day? Well, this is in past tense. What happened? Wookiee tradition that celebrated family joy and harmony, values and tenets of the Wookiee culture.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Wookiepedia, by the way.
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah. It's traditionally held at the Life Tree of Life on the forested Wookiee homeworld of Kashyyyk.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrations were held by people across the galaxy after the dark times of the Galactic Empire.
Okay.
So, like, it was adopted by lots of different cultures. Started with the Wookiees, but everyone was like, yeah, the Wookiees are right. We should celebrate peace and harmony.
What?
Yeah.
You know what I just realized I messed up? I do, like, personalized calendars every year. I should have put Life Day on ours this year.
You probably should have.
Mm-hmm. I said early Life Day. It's late Life Day. It's November 17th, not December 17th. November. Life Day is November 17th.
Okay. You said December 17th, and I was like, that seems really late. Yeah. Because I thought it was like way before
I thought
Christmas.
It was, like, we early talked December. About December 3rd or 4th, we thought. But, yeah. Apparently, it's traditionally celebrated on, like, the first date it was aired, like, Star Wars Holiday Special. That's November 17th, 1978. So, it would be November.
So you failed.
I failed. I had like one job.
Yeah, okay. And Batu, of course, celebrates Life Day.
Of course it does.
Very significantly.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes place after the Batuan Harvest Festival, which was probably Thanksgiving.
Right. So Batu probably celebrates at the beginning of December.
Yeah, sure.
You know, to celebrate the harvest after the harvest.
Hmm. Yeah, that's the basic
peace,
gist.
Peace, love, harmony.
Peace, love, harmony, and family.
Family. Okay. Are you ready for this, Brannon? We are going to turn this... We've got a little bit of At the Parks. We've got a little bit of holiday time. Let's do a little bit of deep diving.
Deep dive.
This is our first deep dive into not an attraction.
I don't know how deep this is going to be, because this... This holiday special is about as deep as a teaspoon, but we're going to try.
Mm-hmm.
Hit me with it.
Okay. Like I said, 1978 in November, it originally aired on CBS. It is directed by Steve Binder and is the first Star Wars spinoff film.
Yeah. You might know his more famous brother, George Duotang.
Oh, you lost me. That was good. Yeah. It was good the first time you said it too.
Yeah. Oh, don't you worry. You're gonna get all the repeated jokes.
Maybe we'll see
so
if you remember them.
Here's the thing. To keep my sanity while watching the Star Wars Holiday Special, I was being my own personal Mystery Science Theater 3000.
You should have been live tweeting it, honestly. Except I don't even know if that's a thing anymore.
Yeah. So
live Xing. That sounds wrong.
You almost had several spit takes.
Yeah, I know.
During. So anyway,
okay, we'll
I
see
might,
how many you remember.
I might re-bring up some other ones. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is set between the events of the original film and the as yet to be released Empire Strikes Back, because that didn't come out until 1980.
And the time period is important because there's some stuff going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, some stuff going
so
on.
So it is most it does star the main cast of the original Star Wars, but also introduces Boba Fett.
Boba Fett!
Via a cartoon in the middle of it.
Which is literally the only good part to watch.
No. Yeah, I totally agree. The 70s were an interesting time.
Extremely.
And by interesting, I mostly mean bizarre. But variety shows were really big, especially around the holidays. And so they're like, let's just do a Star Wars one. And someone probably should have rethought that.
Or, I don't know, just done slightly less drugs.
just slightly.
Like, or more. I don't know. One way or the other. Like, it was at a bad spot. You need to either get more creative or just tone it back
just
a little bit.
Tone it way down.
A couple notches back. Yeah.
So, essentially, Chewie and Han try to go back to the Wookiee home planet of Chewie's, which is Kashyyyk.
Kashyyyk, yeah. Mm-hmm.
To celebrate Life Day. Because apparently Chewie has a family that he wants to celebrate Life Day with.
Which we've never heard about before
or since.
Yeah.
So Chewie apparently traditionally lives with...
He's kind of an absentee father, that
yes,
Chewie.
Yes, kind of is. Yeah. He like went up for milk one day. It was a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
What? Do they have milk on Kashyyyk?
Blue milk.
Blue milk. Okay. He went up for blue milk one day. So he's got a wife, a son, and his dad or her dad, one of the dads live with him as well.
Yeah, no, it's his father.
It's his father?
Yeah, it said it's his father in the credits.
That is unfortunate.
Yes.
I'm really hoping Chewie doesn't end up like that.
Well, I don't know.
But so anyway, they're heading home and they are then pursued by the Galactic Empire, who are searching for members of the Rebel Alliance on the planet.
As they do. Kind of their whole thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. So he's trying to make it home to his wife, Mala, his son, Lumpy, and his father, Itchy.
They have... those are the anglicized names.
Yes.
To be clear.
That is true.
They have full...
Wookiee names.
But yeah, so there you go.
That is totally true. I was getting their full names here. Okay, so Itchy is Atichitkuk.
Yeah, something like that.
We don't know his mother. His wife, Mala, is actually Malatobuk. And apparently he has two sons.
The other one...
I think he might have come later.
Oh.
Lumpawarump and Lumpawaru.
Well, at the end of this special, they look like they were well on their way to trying for another, so...
he also has other relatives, through the Star Wars Legends. And so I'm not sure where...
Yeah, we don't talk about Legends because a lot of crazy stuff happened in
Legends. But anyway, though these are, apparently canon, so...
The Star Wars Holiday Special is theoretically canon, but also probably not.
Right. Okay. So...
I don't know. It has Boba Fett in it. It has to be canon.
That's right. It also has Luke Skywalker, C-3PO, R2-D2, Darth Vader, Princess Leia, all portrayed by the original cast except R2-D2, who is simply billed as himself.
They just had a remote-controlled tin can on set, whereas in the original movies, there was a little person inside.
And we talked about that, how like that's weird, and the billing was weird, but... never got the recognition he should have.
Kenny Baker was his name. Mm-hmm. And, he was also in, Willow.
Yes. I remember. Yeah. Yeah. Because didn't he just pass away recently?
A while ago.
Oh, time has a weird thing on my brain.
2016.
Oh my goodness. Quite a while ago. But I remember talking about him at the time probably with you, I'm sure.
I think he was the first one of the original. I mean, other than Alec Guinness.
Right, yes, of course.
To pass away, because then we started losing.
Yeah.
Like Peter Molyneux. And,
that's
Peter
true.
Mayhew. Sorry, Molyneux is the name of the developer. But
Mayhew.
Yes. Then the guy who played Darth Vader, not the voice, passed away.
Yeah.
So anyway,
Vader had two, of course. He had the body and then he had the voice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have started losing, this is going to be, that's sad.
It is sad.
But
that's not what Life Day is about.
No.
Life Day is about peace and harmony and happiness or something. Yeah.
Okay. There's a Canadian connection, by the way.
Unfortunate.
Do you know what it is?
No idea.
So there's a cartoon produced that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Toronto Company.
Okay, well, that's the only good part. So, oh, Canada, I guess. It's not very good animation, but...
You are welcome, Holiday Special, for being the only retrievable thing in this.
The story is, like, okay.
The company is called Nelvana. Nelvana. And, yes, that is our first on-screen introduction of Boba Fett, like you said. Okay. Are you ready to just walk through this plot?
Yes, I am.
Oh my god.
I'm ready. It's a ride, and it's going to sound actually kind of short, but they let me be clear. Oh. All of this stuff is very dragged out.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you hear us talking about it, just like maybe play us on like half speed so you can fully appreciate how long this is dragged.
Oh my god. No, because we would also just need to make random sounds for 15 minutes.
Yeah, no, we're getting to that.
Oh, okay. Okay, right. Right, we haven't gone into the plot yet. Silly me. Okay, so before we do the dragging out here, let's just talk about how this was received.
Not well.
No, so much so, in fact, that they, like, refused to talk about it. Bootleg copies made their way around, and then, of course, YouTube is a thing.
This is the Bruno of Star Wars.
Exactly.
We don't talk about Bruno.
But famously, and I don't know if this is probably just an urban legend, but you never know, because it's also Carrie Fisher. She would say that when she was having house parties, when she was ready for guests to leave, she just put this on in the living room.
I want to believe that is true,
why I said normally it sounds like but then you're also like, but Carrie Fisher.
I could see her doing that at least totally once as a joke.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So, yes, apparently she was the only one who had an actual physical copy of it, but, you know, there were bootleg copies around. They made their way around, so it, like,
some people,
it didn't die.
The VCR existed in 1978 when this came out, so some people did record it, and that is how we still have copies today.
Exactly.
Literally, you can go on YouTube and watch a surprisingly clean copy.
It's true, yep.
I am shocked that it was able to be transferred into digital form so cleanly, because old VHSs are...
That's very true.
Like, we have old VHSs, even, like, the bubble copies of, of Disney.
Mm-hmm.
They're terrible. They're terrible quality. You can watch this on YouTube whenever you want. I wouldn't recommend it, but it's actually a clean
copy.
It's
there. Yeah, well, we just watched it. Apparently, the animated segment alone was actually released on Disney Plus.
Really?
I didn't know that, but that's what Wikipedia is telling me. The animated segment that introduced Boba Fett was positively received and in 2021 was released on Disney Plus.
Again, it's not great animation, but it's okay.
and the story's like, hey, it introduced Boba Fett.
And the story's like, not bad. Yeah. Like, exactly. It's like one of those filler episodes on the Clone Wars kind of thing.
Fair enough. Okay, so let's get into the plot. So, like I said, Chewie and Han are headed home to see Chewie's family, but the duo is chased by Star Destroyers, and they escape into hyperspace. We spend most of our time, though, on Kashyyyk with Chewie's family. Like we said, Mala, she runs...
As I'm watching this, I'm trying to put myself in the headspace of a, let's say, 10-year-old child who saw Star Wars on the big screen and was like, I love Luke Skywalker and Jedis and fighting the Imperials and oh my goodness, it's Christmas time and
I love Christmas time.
It's a holiday special of Star Wars. That's my favorite movie. Oh, there's Han Solo and Chewbacca and they're running away from the Empire. This is very exciting.
Very exciting.
And then we zoom in on Chewie's family and we're like, oh, there's Chewie's family. He's trying to get to them. That's kind of cool. And we proceed to stay there for 20 minutes while they talk Wookiee to each other.
With no translator.
There's no translator, no subtitles. Just some people.
And they're just talking.
People in costumes going, rah, 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 for 20 minutes!
So eventually she does contact Luke Skywalker, who's with R2-D2 working on his X-Wing fighter. And also, I have problems with this, okay? Because Luke is making it seem like R2 is, like, doing silly things that are causing problems to the engine. He's like, oh, you shouldn't have done that. Or, oh, you're making mistakes. You know what, okay?
R2 is not Jar Jar, first of all.
R2 does not make mistakes.
No.
Stop trying to blame the droid, Okay? He saved your life so many times. I had qualms with this.
Yes. No. Do not make a fool of R2.
Exactly.
That was the sequel's trilogy's problem also.
There you go. Mm. Yeah, R2 is no fool.
No.
So Luke tells her he does not know what happened to the two of them. They're like, oh, they were on their way to see you. Like, that's weird. Because, of course, he doesn't know they are in hyperspace right now. Mala then contacts San Dan, a local trader. He tells her through a carefully
Who's he played by? He's got to be somebody. Because, like, the whole thing is it's a variety special, so they have, right, like, all these cameos.
Of course.
All these cameos. So, I don't know. I wasn't around in 1978, so I don't know who these people are.
He is a human male who works as a trader on the Wookiee homeworld of Kashyyyk. He is played by...
Yeah. Played by is what I was talking about, not the in
what? Art Carney.
Art Carney. Okay, what's he known for?
Besides being Son Dan. He's an American actor and a comedian. Oh, wow. He's won an Academy Award, Golden Globe.
He was on The Honeymooners.
Oh, yes. Ed Norton on The Honeymooners. Oh, wow. He was in the army. He fought in the Battle of Normandy.
He was big on the radio, where he would do impersonations of, like, Franklin Roosevelt and Winston Churchill, like, from, like, a long, long
time. All right, I've got one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He was in The Muppets Take Manhattan as another, like, guest. You know, they would do that, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Probably more successfully than Star Wars did.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely The Honeymooners was his...
yes, that was his claim to fame,
big
for sure.
Time. Oh, he was also in a Christmas episode of The Twilight Zone.
Wow, he really likes his Christmas episodes, apparently.
Apparently. Zone, like Tower Terror.
Yes, I understand.
Okay.
Yeah. I had no problems with him in this.
He's fine.
He was just like a character that...
He did his best with, like, what he was given.
I got what I can.
And he came in to, like, translate for the Wookiees at times, which was kind of important.
Good, yes.
Is important. Anyway, yeah, no, he's fine. Yeah, okay.
Okay, so he's a local trader, and he says that he has found out that Han and Chewbacca are on their way and should be arriving soon.
Also technically a local trader because he's with the rebels.
That is, yes, thank you.
Okay, anyway.
Mala then attempts, unsuccessfully, to prepare a meal. Okay, so Harvey Korman in drag.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were like, we were talking about dragging it out. I was going to say something about, like, transitioning into the drag show cooking show.
Right, you were, like, trying to make that transition.
Yeah.
So gooey.
Uh-huh.
So Chef Gourmanda, played by Harvey Korman, is basically trying to be Julia Child, but alien version,
yeah, in drag.
Yeah, exactly. So Mala's trying to prepare a meal following this on the cooking show, and I said the first time I watched it, this is where I was like, I'm gone.
And this is actually one of the better parts.
It is because it's just like mocking it.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I said from now on I'm gonna be like, cook stir beat, cook whip, and yeah, she keeps having arms just pop out. It's great.
Yes, that is the gag. She keeps having arms, and Mrs. Chewbacca is trying to follow along, mm-hmm, with only two arms. Anyway, mm-hmm, whatever.
Exactly. So, Son arrives with Life Day gifts for everyone, including a virtual reality fantasy program.
Oh no!
For Itchy.
No. Okay.
You know, I'm not touching this one. This is all you.
Okay. So yeah. Kind of ahead of its time for 1978.
You know what? We're about positivity here, okay?
But definitely on point for, like, one of the primary uses of VR, I guess.
I guess. What's that, Brandon?
So, Sana straps Itchy into this magical VR headset as a present. He's got this little tape on it.
Yeah, he gives presents to everyone.
Yeah,
it's so nice.
He's very nice. Very nice. He's not even
Happy
Wookie.
Life Day, everyone.
He's like, I embrace your culture, and I'm going to give you presents.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
as a trader, I've got cool stuff.
That's very good. But, yeah, so for Itchy, he's got this VR headset, and he's got there's a little cassette that goes in the VR headset, does a little program.
Yep.
And Sana's like, Oh, this is like a, ooh, yeah, one for you, Itchy. Ooh.
Who's like Grandpa.
He's Grandpa. Well, he's a lonely old man.
You had a theory here.
Grandma, I'm pretty sure, probably died during the Clone Wars.
Yeah, you have like a whole backstory to make us feel better about this.
Well, like, you see in the Clone Wars, Yoda goes to help the Wookiees because the Separatists are with their droid army.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Are attacking. Well, it's in the movies as well. Mm-hmm. That's like where Yoda is when all the stuff's going down in Revenge of the Sith, right? They're getting attacked by the droid armies, and like the Wookiees are fighting. You meet Chewbacca.
True.
Pretty sure that Chewbacca's mom has a bad time during the Clone Wars, and there's no more grandma.
Does thinking about that make you feel better about this part in the
Yes. So Lumpy has been alone for a long time.
This is Itchy, not Lumpy.
Yes, Itchy has been alone for a long time. Lumpy's probably alone as well.
But he's a child.
But he's a child, so that's okay. Yeah, so Itchy's been a lonely old man. Okay. He has needs. this VR headset might provide for some of those needs. Again, this is on like primetime network television. So it's only heavily innuendoed, not like full on.
It's so bizarre.
And yes, so this VR headset presents a lovely lady.
Diane Carroll.
Diane Carroll.
I don't know if I said that right, but I think maybe.
Yeah, Diane,
I don't know.
Anyway, she is supposed to be Itchy's, I almost called him Lumpy again, Itchy's fantasy lady, and it like taps into his brainwaves and becomes his fantasy lady, and she kind of is all...
Suggestive.
And this is unfortunate because this is the first African-American to ever win an Emmy Award.
Yeah.
And the first African-American woman to win a Tony Award as well.
And this is what she's reduced to.
Yeah. A little bit unfortunate, but this is what I will always remember the Star Wars Holiday Special for.
What is happening?
Chewie's father watches VR pornography. For sure. For sure.
No, Brandon. She's just, like, talking. Explaining how she's his fantasy.
Yeah, no, that's just the first part. They don't show the rest of it. Yeah, she gets very excited, okay?
Yes, I know. And then we cut away. Thank God. So, let's jump over to the Falcon. Meanwhile, this is going on. Oh, man, this is just, like, I have trouble with this one. With that one. So back on the Falcon, though, Chewie and Han have just come out of hyperspace, not far from Kashyyyk. Han notices an increased Imperial presence, so they decide to land in an unguarded area to the north. As they enter the atmosphere, Lumpy hears the roaring of a ship, so they're all super excited, thinking, ooh, Chewie's all...
You've skipped over a whole very important part.
What?
Lumpy's all excited and bored because his dad's not there.
Yeah.
And he goes and walks along the beam of his house.
Ah, that's true.
And that's very scary.
Yeah.
And then he comes back inside and Itchy's like, yeah, I think this is before the traitor comes and everything. Mm-hmm, you completely messed this whole part. Very important part.
Very important.
Again,
all
of these things take a very long amount of time.
Maybe that's why I jumped over it.
Itchy comes. Itchy is like, Lumpy, hey, you need to calm down. Come watch this. And he puts a thing in. They have a little coffee table.
Yeah.
And this whole interpretive dance troupe comes out.
That's true. I missed the interpretive dance. I'm sorry.
There's a fox lady doing some acrobatics.
Oh, it is weird.
And some jugglers.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like on the chessboard, like that's on the Millennium Falcon.
Kinda. So you first thought they were going to play chess, okay? Yeah. I was wrong. They were not playing chess.
No, they're not playing chess. They're watching interpretive dance with, like, furries and stuff. Yeah, but they're Wookiees, so I guess that makes sense.
I mean, it does make sense, okay? You're right. That does happen before. I completely missed
that part.
I really wanted to get past the Itchy scene as fast as possible.
Yeah, well, you were very excited for the Itchy
scene.
You wanted to get to the itchy
scene. The exact opposite. So anyway, let's go back to them hearing the ship, and you're supposed to think that, oh, this is Chewie and Han now showing up.
Yeah.
But they go to open the door, and there are stormtroopers there.
Okay.
And officers.
No, okay. So they open the door, and there's two stormtroopers there, and they're standing there with their guns. A very dramatic scene.
Da, da, da.
And so I look at you, and I'm like, I'm glad they're here. They were really worried they were going to miss Life Day.
stormtroopers miss everything.
But I'm okay. Moving on. Yes. Okay. Yeah. See, this humor is as good as the holiday special.
Probably better. And that's saying a lot.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay, so they have decided, the officer who's there, the head officer who's there, has ordered a search. Basically, they said they're going to search the looking for rebel activity. And on their records, it has listed that there are two adult male Wookiees, an adult female, and a juvenile male living here. But of course, one of those adult male is missing, Chewie. And I would like to know when he lives there.
He was there for the census, apparently. I don't know, but right.
So Trader Guy's there, and he's like, "Oh, the Mister and Mrs. just had a little bit of a disagreement, so he went out to cool off, and he's trying to like distract them and calm them down, and all those other fun things.
He's doing solid work.
He is. Yeah. He's like, I can only do so much here.
Mm-hmm.
So as they search, basically, they distract him with food and Mala's music video box, which now we switch to a video by Jefferson Starship.
Yeah, it's like it opens up and there's a whole 3D music video, except they're singing into a glowing, very phallic object.
Yeah, we're like, what is happening now?
Why?
That was Itchy's program.
Yeah. Anyway, all their instruments are glowing, and the guitar,
it's all very glowy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Jefferson Starship was kind of weird anyway.
True.
But yeah.
Okay, so that's
again,
happened.
This drags out. It's a whole music video.
It is a whole thing. Yeah. So when the music finishes, the head officer orders the search to continue. The head officer tells Mala to keep Lumpy busy while they search his room. So Lumpy and the viewing audiences then uses a viewing suite to watch the cartoon of his father's many adventures. And the cartoon is where we meet Boba Fett for the first time on screen. It is not the first appearance anywhere of Boba Fett.
No, it's not. It was in a parade.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Like a Santa Claus parade.
I won a bet with one of my students for it. It was great. It was glorious. He was being very, like...
cocky?
Typical Star... like, the worst kind of Star Wars cocky fan ever. And...
it's like, you're not a real Star Wars
fan.
And
so I just said, I bet you that I know the first... I will bet you, a trivia Star Wars thing. And when was the first appearance... and if not, you can't talk about Star Wars anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, when was the first appearance of Star Wars?
And of
Boba Fett and in any Star Wars... anything from Star Wars. Well, and he's like, wow, the holiday special. I don't know. Nope.
Mm.
And so I said that, and then he looked it up, and he was so mad. He couldn't talk about Star Wars for the rest of the class. But the best part was his friends. My very favorite was his friends like, hey, does anyone have any opinions on sand? And he was literally, like, rocking back and forth.
it's the meme of the kid in the desk with the vein popping out of his head. Have you seen that?
But that was him, and yeah, it was great. Uh-huh. So that was when he was in grade 10. He's in grade 12 right now. All through grade 11, I was like, hey, do you remember that time? He's like, doesn't count. So I didn't say first on screen. I said first ever.
Yeah.
So anyway, first piece of trivia, my favorite piece of Star Wars trivia ever.
It is good. It is good trivia.
Mm-hmm, because everyone thinks it's the holiday special.
Wow, I mean, not even that, like, people who know about the holiday special introducing Boba Fett as a thing. Like, he was just walking in the parade looking cool.
Yeah. They literally wanted to gauge audience reaction to, like, his outfit and stuff. And so that's what they did.
Interestingly, both in the parade and the cartoon, he's wearing the white...
yes, I noticed
coveralls
that.
Mm-hmm. Or whatever. And that obviously is not actually his outfit, but...
what did you think of this cartoon?
Well, the animation's bad. The plot is like C-, but interesting though. Mm-hmm. Like it's good enough.
Mhm.
It's a little mini Star Wars adventure.
Yeah. It is the fact that you said C- and it's the highlight of this special.
Yeah.
Should say a lot.
Like, there's not a lot of meat to the bones. It's Han is captured and people got to go save his butt again.
Yeah,
it's like kind of
as one does
recurring theme,
except when he's saving other people's butts
one time.
But it was a big time.
It was. It was a big time.
And I'm sure he never let anyone forget it.
No, he would not. Definitely would not. I've met people like Han in real life. He would definitely not let anyone forget that.
True.
But, so they go in to save Han, and they meet this guy, and he seems like he's a nice guy, but he's not a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Chewie knew all along.
Yeah, because Chewie's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So Lumpy watches this, and then afterwards he goes up to his room, and it made me really sad because freaking Star Trooper guy tore apart
the stormtroopers just tear apart his room, including his favorite stuffed animal.
Yeah, they tear the head off his Bantha. It was Bantha, right? Yeah, it was Bantha.
Yeah. I yell stuff, Bantha.
Yeah, I'm gonna
cuddle him
okay.
in honor of
you. Should
Lumpy.
You should make him yell. Good job. Yeah, and so Lumpy starts like crying basically, and then he like lays them side by side and puts the blanket over them like they're sleeping. It's like really sad.
It is a little messed up. Lumpy's not very old, I don't think.
No, he's like a little child.
Yeah.
But then he immediately is able to create a translation device that will fool the Imperials into returning to their base by faking their commander's voice. So he first watches a manual for the device, which is presented by a malfunctioning, incompetent robot.
Yeah.
Who's also played by Corman.
Oh.
But this time not in drag.
I see, mm-hmm. Yes.
While the Imperials are searching downstairs, the living room view screen activates, announcing that Tatooine is being put under curfew by the Empire because of subversive voices. So the video is announced as required viewing.
And they're like, look how terrible it is on Tatooine, and you will be joyous by comparison.
That is literally what it says.
Yeah.
So,
and I mean, fair.
Basically, we head into the Mos Eisley Cantina, and it's literally just an excuse to have this cantina again.
Yeah, so they show the cantina, they got the cantina music playing, they show all, like, a bunch of the creatures that mm-hmm. were in the cantina in the original film. It's like, hey, you remember the cantina? That was a cool place. Yeah, this music's cool. And now, Bea Arthur.
Exactly. Who's playing a character named Ekmina, who's apparently the, like, manager? Owner?
She's the matron of the cantina.
Right. She's calling the shots kind of thing.
Literally. She wants everybody to drink a lot. Drink a lot.
So we open with Krellman, who's an alien she basically was being nice to him as a customer, and he like latched onto it.
He's got a bit of an infatuation.
He has a bit of an infatuation. But there's a last call is then announced because of this curfew. Right? And everyone ignores it. And they're kind of creepy. They're like, they threaten her, they just ignore her completely.
Well, Mos Eisley is
a den of
scum and villainy. I mean, what do you expect?
That totally makes sense. So she starts singing.
As one does. Well, first she says, okay, you can get one more drink and I'll make it on the house, but then you gotta get out of here.
And then she says to tally it all up and send the bill to the Empire. Yeah, but then you gotta get out of here. So as she's pouring, she starts singing.
And she does not sing It's Closing Time.
No, but that is definitely the vibe.
Yeah. It should be. That would be amazing,
and
actually.
Then it's like, let's get moving, basically. And she sings them out the door, basically.
And then they also play a remix of the Cantina song in like a minor chord.
Which is really cool, actually.
I kind of like it.
So, kind of like while everyone's distracted, Lumpy uses that opportunity to put his plan into motion, faking a repeated call for the Imperials to return to base. So they leave, but one stormtrooper stays behind, and they say, like, you need to stay here until the other male of the house gets back, basically, to see what's up. So while he's there, he is kind of, like, wandering around the house, and he realizes they've been tricked. Like, he finds Lumpy's device, basically.
Yeah, because Lumpy's not the smartest, and he keeps hitting the button.
Little child. Yeah, exactly.
Return to base.
He's like, where's that sound coming from? So he finds Lumpy, destroys the machine, chases Lumpy outside, and perfect timing, Han and Chewie arrive. So Chewie protects Lumpy. Han kills the stormtrooper. Well, kind of. He kind of like trips over his own 2 feet. It's awkward.
That's Han's go-to move. It's just like, people trip over their own feet. That's how he gets Boba Fett into the Sarlacc pit, right?
Behind me. That's literally the vibe I got from that whole thing. So they're all reunited, and an Imperial officer shows back up and is like, there's a missing stormtrooper. But
the traitor guy.
Yeah, traitor guy has shown up again. He jumps on that the trooper stole supplies and ran off into the forest. So they're like, we will go searching for him. Thank you for your cooperation. Basically, the trooper is now being treated like a deserter, even though he's lying dead at the bottom of their treehouse.
He's probably fine.
Probably fine.
Oh, I will say, while the trooper was tripping and falling off the thing, they definitely threw in a good old quality Wilhelm scream.
That's true, they did. That was...
love me a good Wilhelm scream.
A big old oof.
No.
Actually, this whole thing was a big old oof. Except the Wilhelm scream.
Would say the Wilhelm scream was a high watermark, actually.
All right. So the family prepares to go to the festival at the Great Tree of Life, where they hold glowing orbs and appear in space randomly. Like, they just...
Okay.
And they're wearing the robes.
Here's my theory. Life Day is actually a time-honored tradition of Wookiees going on an ayahuasca trip. And so they don their robes and keep the heat in, because ayahuasca can temperature regulation can be a problem.
We're gonna have children googling ayahuasca now.
The more you know. Okay. And then they, it was part of their trip. They're like going towards the light.
Literally their trip, yeah.
They arrive in the magical land of the life tree.
The life tree, yes. Literally, okay. So this is the description. Okay. Oh, Wookiees hold glowing orbs and appear in space wearing red robes, where they walk toward a bright star and arrive at the Tree of Life, where many are gathered.
Yeah.
In celebration.
So they're celebrating and they're greeted by their ayahuasca shamans, R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Yes, the ayahuasca shamans. Okay, Luke, Leia, and Han also appear, even though Han just dropped Chewie off and was like, it's your day.
He found some ayahuasca
on
the way back.
He's like, I need to move the Millennium Falcon because we're like parked and it was this whole thing. And then he's like, just kidding, here I am. Because I guess of the ayahuasca finding on the way. Okay.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So Leia then gives a short speech as like, this day is yours, but also we celebrate with you.
And she's like, I'm going to celebrate harmony.
By singing a song in celebration.
She talks about the meaning of Life Day and it's like, peace and harmony.
Who is? Harmony? So we're watching and then Brian's like, harmony?
Harmony? Oh, that's that chick from Harry Potter.
And I hit him.
Yeah. It was just a weird pronunciation, okay?
Yeah, harmony. So she sings a song about peace, love, and harmony. Yes, your bantha. Yes. And then during this, Chewie has like a freeze frame where we go into his thoughts and he remembers adventures during the events of the original film. It's like a weird fade in, fade, I don't know, overlapping.
Well, yeah, so Leia sings a little song and then it's like kind of during the credits and it's like, it's Chewie, and he's like, yes, I've had many adventures with my friends, and it was like just clips from the original, the original Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you remember when Star Wars was good? That was good times.
Yeah, guys.
Yeah, you guys. Yeah. Remember Obi-Wan Kenobi? He was cool.
You guys liked him, right?
Remember the Death Star? That blew up real good. Yeah.
Yeah. So after that, we magically are transported back to their kitchen table.
Yeah, and they're gonna have a life day feast.
And the Wookiee family sits around the table. They kind of like hold hands and they all bow their heads and roll credits.
And that's where we meet Steve Binder
and his brother.
Oh, no, you don't mean his brother.
Joe Duotang.
He was far too good. George Duotang was far too good to be involved with the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Are you ready? I have some segments here. I have some descriptions of the original critical reviews.
Oh, okay. Yes, let's do it.
In a November 1978 review for the Associated Press, Jerry Buck called the program bubblegum for the brain. Nathan
that
Rabin
is generous.
Nathan Rabin of the AV Club wrote, I'm not entirely I'm not convinced that the special wasn't ultimately written and directed by a sentient bag of cocaine.
That is more accurate. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Sentient
David,
bag of
cocaine. Yep. David Hofstede, author of What Were They Thinking? The 100 Dumbest Events in Television History, ranked the holiday special at number one.
Yes. I think so.
Calling it the worst 2 hours of television ever.
And this is in a universe where the Happy Days Jump the Shark moment, where they named a whole thing.
They named a whole thing called Jump the Shark.
Jumping the shark is when your television show goes bad. That was not number one. I assume that was number two. Probably.
The special was ranked number three in the five goofiest moments of the Star Wars mythos, which only begs the question, what was number one and two?
That is an excellent question. Right? Yeah.
The TV Guide ranked it at number 11 on their 25 most hilarious holiday TV moments, mentioning it was unintentionally hilarious.
Yeah.
It was ranked at number 59 on the top 100 unexpected television moments, and it was selected to be shown in 2008 at the Paley Center for Media, which allowed users to vote on five titles. It beat out Charlie Brown Christmas, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh, that's a Bodie McBoatface situation, for sure.
Absolutely. George Lucas did not have significant involvement with the film's production and was reportedly unhappy with the results.
Why? What happened?
In 1987, he said, "I believe it will be released on videotape. I'm not sure if they're going to rerun it on television or not." In 2005, he asked if the film had soured him on working on television, and he replied, "The special from 1978 really didn't have much to do with us, you know. I can't remember what network it was even on, but it was a thing that they did. We kind of let them do it. It was done by, I can't even remember who the group was, but they were variety TV guys. We let them use the characters and stuff, and that probably wasn't the smartest thing to do, but I guess you just learn from those experiences."
Yeah.
In 2006, when Harrison Ford made an appearance on Late Night with Conan O'Brien, you can see this on YouTube, he jokingly did not even acknowledge its existence when he was first asked about it, then said he had never seen it.
Harrison Ford is just hilariously grumpy on talk shows. It's a good shtick.
And then Carrie Fisher, was 2010 when she said she made Lucas give her a copy of the special in exchange for recording commentary for the Star Wars trilogy, so she would have something for parties when she wanted everyone to leave.
Ah, that's where that comes from.
Yep. In 2018... Mark Hamill admitted to not having seen the entire thing, and Anthony Daniels referred to it as a complete turd. Yes.
Anthony Daniels is a delight.
The official Star Wars site states that the special delivered mixed results, but does say the highlight was Boba Fett.
Mix, beat, whisk. There you go.
The official site says, when referring to the fan interest in seeing the Wookiees on screen, the 78 holiday special just didn't cut it. And the Boba Fett segment is a cult classic.
Yeah, because it's like...
Hey guys, remember this thing? This is the only watchable portion. So I have one story about watching this show.
Okay.
So the first... You told me to watch this, and I think I did while I was doing other stuff. And then myself and a coworker were like, the day before Christmas break, we asked them what to watch. And one student said... the Star Wars holiday special, and we let them vote, and they all voted for it. So we put it on. And then when they were like, 10 minutes in, probably while the Wookiees were just screaming at each other in Wookiee, they asked if they could switch it. And we said, no.
No. It's a good lesson. Voted.
Yeah. That was the thing. It was like, this is a life lesson about trying to be funny.
Life Lessons by Life Day Wookiees.
Exactly. Is that the name of the... the episode.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Life Lessons by Life Day Wookiees. Oh, yes. So anyway, we made them watch it in its entirety as a punishment for trying to be funny unsuccessfully. They were trying to make fun of nerd stuff, and we're like, oh, we will take that and make you watch the entire Star Wars holiday special. Okay, so this is a long episode. Do you have anything to add first?
Well, we had to make up for lost time, of course.
This is true. Basically, this is short because it's two episodes in one.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for you.
Yeah?
If you were to invent a drink called the Life Day,
yeah,
what would be in it?
You
knew this was coming. Don't even be surprised. Or is it the Star Wars Holiday Special?
Yeah, so it's gonna be it's gonna taste really bad is what it's gonna do.
You know, we eventually have to taste all these, right?
Yeah.
You're tasting this.
That's why I'm not saying my first instinct.
Do it.
I will say what my first instinct was after. But no, it's going to be a shot.
Okay.
While the Life Day special drags out, we're going to get this one over quick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be half red sourpuss.
Okay.
A half an ounce of red sourpuss.
Mm-hmm.
Mixed with a half an ounce of Everclear.
No. Absolutely. Oh, God.
And that's your Life Day special.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Is it sourpuss, the red sourpuss, the robes?
Yes.
Nah, nice. Yeah, okay. What was your initial thing?
I was just going to say, like, mud water mixed with Sambuca or something. Like, literally, go out in the puddle, get a cup of mud water.
Not even, like mud water in a bar. Like, actual, like, legitimate.
Yeah. No. Like, a glass full of mud and water. Yeah, okay. No,
that's actually going to turn my stomach thinking about that. Even the shot sounds terrible.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I asked. And you knew it was coming.
Yeah, no, I kind of thought maybe at the end here you were going to go that way, and then, yeah, it kind of, I don't know. I was not prepared.
Even though you knew I was going to go that way.
I was not prepared.
Okay.
But yeah, I think Red Sourpuss and Everclear are, like, perfectly encapsulates the thought process behind the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Sentient bag of cocaine. Yeah. Best review ever. Any final thoughts about the Star Wars Holiday Special or Life Day in general?
I do feel bad for Itchy being alone all that time. I don't need to see his exploits on VR.
No, that was terrible.
Yeah, that's my final thoughts.
Oh, so bad. Okay, that's fine. Okay, it is
too bad that Bob Iger has stated that there's going to be quality over quantity, because I was kind of excited for the Adventures of Lumpy Disney Plus show.
Yeah, I don't.
But I guess that's canceled.
I guess so. I don't think that was actually on the list originally.
Adventures of Lumpy. Justice for Lumpy.
I also had a student once who, for their Google account, their profile pic was Lumpy, a close-up of Lumpy's face.
Close-up of Lumpy's face is actually a great picture.
Right.
That would be a great avatar on anything that you could have, a resume, your LinkedIn profile.
Maybe not those. Any dating profile, really.
Dating profile, just... any screenshot from the Star Wars Holiday Special
really
is gonna just shoot you to the top of that algorithm there. Probably.
But
I will mention that I've never been on any dating site ever, so maybe don't take my advice.
Maybe not. Yeah, you locked that down way before any of that.
That did not exist when I was single.
No.
Okay, anyway.
Nor I.
Anyway.
Because we're the same age and we're old.
We are old.
Yes.
We are old.
Okay, well, on the old note, we were not as old as 1978 Holiday Special.
No, we were not.
No. But that is our show this week. Thank you, El Mule, who's responsible for the custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website, which is disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. And that's also where you can find a link to our social media accounts and our email links. You can find Disney A episodes on all of your favorite podcast streaming platforms and on our YouTube channel, Adventures A. I don't know why I tripped over that.
Because you're a stormtrooper and Han Solo's out to get you.
And I trip and fall down.
Yeah.
If you've rated or reviewed our podcast, thank you. And if you haven't yet, please do. It helps others find us and is just mostly awesome. So if you want to be awesome, do that.
Yeah.
Especially on Apple Podcasts. Now, we have had a couple people who have contacted us with their mailing address. You have a little bit, like, basically one more week left before Christmas cards go out.
Yeah, we're going to sign them and stuff.
Yep, that's this week. So...
I'm sorry, my penmanship is not very good.
I typed most of them. You just have to sign your name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But definitely send us an email or Instagram is probably, if you're going to DM us, the best way to do it.
Yeah.
So do go ahead and do that if you want a Christmas card from us. So,
Or it could be a Life Day card if you really wanted it to be. I don't know.
Belated Life Day.
Yeah.
We're in festive mode now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
well, I have watched like 3 years quota of Hallmark Christmas movies already. So
you watch them with me.
Yeah.
That isn't my 3 year quota of Hallmark Christmas
movies. It is mine.
I was like, that isn't even 1 year. What are you talking about?
Oh, my goodness. So many Hallmark Christmas movies.
But it's okay. We're going to move to a small town and save the Christmas tree farm. And also your Santa. But we were
I like the one that was in Scotland.
That was like, good. Mostly because we want to go to Scotland
now. I want to be a secret duke.
I know. In Scotland. Mostly now. I actually am really into those ones because I'm trying to convince Brandon to spend one Christmas in Europe with me.
In a Scottish castle.
That's what I'm saying.
Where I have a butler.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I am for this.
Okay.
It just takes money. This and time.
Sounds like a Merry Christmas to me.
This is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to keep the festive stuff going. This season we have a few more episodes to do as part of the holiday season. We have a blind date with Disney coming up.
Wait.
Surprise.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, uh-oh, I was right. Well, not uh-oh for me. Hilarious for me.
I'm in danger.
So much danger.
Oh, no.
But also, we always do a Secret Santa. We've done henchmen. We did villains. So we're going to talk about what we're going to do this time. Yeah, so just Christmas all around.
Extended family of Wookiees.
Man, oh, God, no. Oh, God. I'm in danger even thinking about that. I'm not doing it. I'm not getting itchy in the Secret Santa.
Oh, I got itchy. He's easy to buy for.
Okay. Oh, God. So, I'm Krista.
I'm Brandon.
And before the next... Let's try that again.
TTFN. Ta-ta for now.
No, I'm doing that again. So, I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
And until the next adventure, TTFN. Ta-ta for now.
I thought I had capped it off pretty good there.
Thanks for listening to Disney, eh? Oh, no. I don't know whether to cry or laugh.